Okay, I'm Joseph Baker, and I'm an associate professor in the Department of Sociology and Anthropology at East Tennessee State University.
Yeah, maybe just a little something about your academic credentials, specifically with regard to, you know, this type of study.
Sure. I'm trained as a sociologist of religion, and that's what my PhD is in sociology, with a concentration in religion. And specifically, I do a lot of work. I'm a quantitative researcher, so I do a lot of work with surveys.
Yeah, yeah. And this particular study that we're going to discuss, you did in conjunction with some other researchers?
Yes, correct. This was with two colleagues. One is Andrew Whitehead. He is a professor of sociology at Clemson University. And the other is Sam Perry, and he's a professor of sociology at the University of Oklahoma.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe just a thumbnail sketch of what this particular study was about.
Sure. The short version of it is we tried to examine a dimension of political and religious ideology that we call Christian nationalism, the idea that the United States is a Christian nation. And then we looked at this in relationship to voting in the 2016 presidential election. And there's two main findings to the study. One is that Christian nationalism is a very strong predictor of having voted for Donald Trump in the 2016 election. And then the second part is that Christian nationalism essentially explains the quote-unquote religious vote in 2016. And so to look at that, we looked at how things like religious practice, so how often you attend religious services or pray, whether that affected vote choice after you account for Christian nationalism. And the short answer on that is that religious practice and things like views of the Bible only affected vote choice to the extent that it altered levels of Christian nationalism.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe just a word about why you chose to do this topic at this time.
Yeah, sure. Well, there's been a lot of discussion both in amongst the public, in the news and the media, and also in my field as an academic pursuit, about trying to explain patterns of the religious right. And specifically with Trump, a lot of people have wondered, how is it that he was able to win 80% of a white evangelical vote, given that he certainly doesn't match what we would think of as sort of your typical pious candidate, someone who sort of leads a religious life. And so we were interested in looking at this dimension of political and religious ideology to help explain what seems perplexing. That is, why would white evangelicals, who typically promote conservative ideas of sexual morality, be so behind a candidate whose personal lifestyle doesn't seem to match this ideology?
Yeah, yeah. Can you define Christian nationalist for me? That's going to be a term that a lot of people are just simply not familiar with, and I'm guessing a lot more will also find it kind of pejorative.
Sure. Well, we look at it, the idea is that the extent to which individuals perceive that the United States has a uniquely Christian heritage and or a Christian future. And so we measured this in a couple of different ways. And one is we use kind of a combination of a bunch of different measures to get at the idea of a comprehensive assessment of Christian nationalism. And the other one, we used a very direct question that just asked people, which of these do you most support? And we gave the options of the United States always has been in the past a Christian nation and will be in the future. Another option was the United States was a Christian nation in the past but is not now. Or you could say the United States has never been a Christian nation and won't be in the future. Or you could say, I don't know. And the people who said that the United States is a Christian nation past and future were the most likely to vote Trump. People who said was in the past but isn't now also were Trump voters. And the people who selected the other two were much less likely to vote for Trump. So that's a real direct, we're just asking people, do you think the United States is a Christian nation? The other measure we use combines responses to six different questions. And so here's some of those, just agreement with statements like, the federal government should declare the United States a Christian nation. The federal government should advocate Christian values. The federal government should allow for the display of religious symbols in public spaces. The success of the United States is part of God's plan. And then we used a reverse code on whether or not people supported church-state separation. So people who wanted closer alignment between church and state were higher on the scale. And that one's a more comprehensive measure. But the idea that we're trying to get at with either one of them is the perception that the United States is sort of uniquely Christian, or it has a uniquely Christian history, mission, and purpose.
Yeah, yeah. I guess I thought my initial understanding from what I'd read about the study was that you actually hadn't conducted any original research, but that you were piggybacking off of existing research. But it sounds as if you may have asked some of your own questions. I'm curious which of those, what your approach was as far as the research is concerned.
Yes, this is actually original research, and so these were questions fielded on the 2017 Baylor Religion Survey, which was collected right after the election. And what this is, the questions that we used, there had been some similar questions on previous waves of the Baylor Religion Survey, and we had kind of tested those to see which ones worked and sort of hung together into a coherent index of ideology. And so then the ones that had worked in previous waves, we got included on this new wave of the survey. And we actually, the intent was to include these so that we could assess the political ramifications of Christian nationalism. So it is unique research, and all credit goes to my co-author Andrew Whitehead on this, because he's done a lot of papers on this, and he kind of spearheaded getting these questions on this survey to assess this question specifically.
Yeah, yeah. So if I may ask, you mentioned that, that your particular field is kind of at this intersection of sociology and religion. So I'm curious what you feel like you have learned at that intersection from this study.
Well, one of the things is that I think people in my field, and also just in the public understanding, have to take account of Christian nationalism as a unique religious and political influence, because this is not something the research on this is fairly new. Most of it is relatively recent. But as we show in this paper, and Andrew has shown, and Sam also in some other papers, it's a powerful predictor of lots of different types of political and moral attitudes. And so it's a very important dimension of religious and political ideology. And it helps explain some things that seemed inexplicable otherwise. Now, in terms of what I've learned about sort of the intersection of sociology and religion more generally, the more I study the sociology of religion in the United States, the more I'm convinced that religion and politics should always be looked at in conjunction. Now, I've studied other things like secularity, so people who claim to be atheists or agnostics or to have no religion. And politics is a very important dimension of that as well. And specifically, people who are secular are often responding to the ideas of things like Christian nationalism almost with revulsion, and kind of saying they're against organized religion because of things like Christian nationalism. So no matter what aspect of religion you're looking at, I think politics is always an important dimension to consider.
Yeah, yeah. I'd like to ask, though, historically, I don't think these, the kinds of concepts or mindset or worldview that your questions, might be looking for are really all that unique with regard to the United States and its history. Is this something that you expected to find?
Yes, we had a hypothesis. We had hypothesized that this would be an important predictor of vote choice. Now, there's I'll answer this question in two ways, which is that I agree with you that this ideology and this idea has been around for a long time, and there are historical examples of movements that use this idea of the United States as a Christian nation or sort of a city on a hill and those sorts of metaphors. So this ideology has a long history in politics and religion, and so in some sense, the empirical study of it is coming around to the idea, although it's been there for a long time. The second part, though, is that I would say there is something that is different about this now than used to be, say, 40 or 50 years ago, which is that conservative Protestants in the history of the United States have very much been for the separation of church and state and have been strong advocates for the separation of church and state. You can look at the history of different types of Baptists as an example of this, you know, sort of staunch supporters of the separation of church and state. Whereas now, if I look at a question like, should the government and religious entities be separate or should they be merged, people who are, say, in Southern Baptist denomination are much more likely now to be against the separation of church and state. So inside of some denominations, there has been a shift toward the idea of being against the separation of church and state, where it used to be very much supported.
Yeah. You mentioned that you were your questions hadn't been included in a wider survey. I'm assuming that was a national study. So I'd like to ask about any regional trend or findings from the study.
Sure. Well, yes. So it's a national study. It's a national survey, random sample of Americans. And there are some regional effects. For instance, views of Christian nationalism are more common in the Bible Belt. So there is some regional dimension to it, although that's largely a function of religious composition. So it's not the South specifically. It's just that there are more conservative Protestants in the South. So there is a regional aspect to it. And again, this is largely a function of which types of religious individuals are more likely to support this ideology.
Yeah, yeah. I'm curious what reaction you may have gotten to the study, both from your peers and perhaps from wider community.
Well, we've very much a positive response from people in our field, and so this dimension of religion and politics has been recognized as an important consideration by people who do qualitative work, so historians or people who do social theory. And this is one of the first ones to try to put kind of an empirical look at it when it's relationship to vote choice. So it's been well supported or accepted by people in our field because we're taking something that's an established idea and looking at it in a new methodological way. So it's been positive response there. In terms of the public response, people on the left really like it because it sort of highlight something that they have seen but didn't quite have a way to put a name or a face on, so to speak. And then for people on who are conservatively religious, we've gotten some, it's about half and half. Half of people say, yes, that's why I voted for Trump. And then other people will say, no, that's this is not an accurate representation of why I voted for Trump. I voted for Trump because I wanted to, say, get the next Supreme Court justice to be conservative. But ultimately, that kind of idea is still in line with the ideology we're looking at, which is the idea is to get your views into the Supreme Court. And so in some sense, even the resistance to it, people who said they didn't like the questions, for instance, are still expressing something that is pretty much in line with what we're finding.
Yeah, yeah. I have to say that, you know, here in Tennessee, certainly your neighbors in East Tennessee, many of them are going to look at the study and, you know, based on the question, say, you know, he's talking about me. I'm just curious, you know, what kind of reaction, if any, you've gotten from your immediate community, the community there surrounding the university?
Well, again, there's been support from people who don't align with the idea of Christian nationalism. There's been some, I've gotten a little bit of hate mail and things like that from people who don't like what we're pointing out. But I think for the most part, people are trying to genuinely and earnestly reconcile this dimension of religion and politics with their own religious views. So I hear a lot of people saying things like, well, hardline forms of nationalism are not truly Christian. And so people are kind of making these religious distinctions about what counts as truly Christian. And this brings up some sort of disputes between religious moderates and religious conservatives. And so I think what it does is it highlights this feature that is something of a schism between religious moderates and liberals and religious conservatives. And even inside of the religious conservative world, there's some opposition to the idea of Christian nationalism. There's a lot of people in the Never Trump movement who expressly oppose the idea of Christian nationalism and oppose Trump for similar reasons. So the response from the religious community, I find, is that it's kind of bringing up something that was always there as a dividing line, but it's kind of making it explicit, and so people are kind of disputing this. I feel a little bad because lots of my friends shared it on Facebook, and then they would be getting into religious disputes with their friends and family as a result. So I'm not trying to cause strife, although I am happy that it's engendering lots of discussion.
Yeah. Let's see. I should ask if you have any related studies, perhaps in the pipeline, or ideas for related studies going forward.
Yeah. Well, my colleague Andrew Whitehead has already done a couple of studies on this related to views of sexual morality and also to transracial adoption, showing some of the sort of racial and sexual dimensions of Christian nationalism, and he's intending to do some more studies. The idea is we're going to try to map all the different political dimensions of Christian nationalism, all the ways it connects to other issues. So some of that will be about voting, some of that will be about attitudes or policy positions and things like that. But the idea is to try to do a thorough mapping of how Christian nationalism relates to both religion and politics.
Is there any, the study may not support this particular finding, but is there any indication, what percentage of the American people, could conceivably be identified as Christian nationalists?
Yeah, well, on the high end of that, if we use the larger metric, which is a wide range, about a quarter of Americans, so 25% to 30%, you could consider as being kind of in this high end or the high end of that scale. And, of course, that varies regionally. So, as you were asking, if we're talking about, say, where I live or the Bible Belt in general, that number would be higher. If we're looking at Americans overall, it would be about 25% to 30%. And then, of course, if you're looking at specifically religious areas, that'll be higher. If you're looking at less religious areas like the West Coast, that number would be lower. But it's a very substantial number in nearly all places in the United States. And so it's a very important political contingent and a very large voting block.
Yeah. All right. So we should finish with the parameters of the study, the number of people surveyed, when it was taken, error margin, so forth.
Sure. Well, it has over 1,500 people, and it was taken right at the beginning of 2017, so after the 2016 election and right around the time of Trump's inauguration. And margin of error is going to be about 2 to 3 percentage points. On those types of, if you're trying to estimate population parameters from it. It's very much a standard size survey for trying to estimate population parameters. It does have unique questions, and it was taken at a unique time, which is why we used it. But in the Baylor Religion Surveys, this is the fifth wave of them now. They started in 2005, and they're all the previous waves, I think 2005, 2007, 2010 are all publicly available now. And so this one is modeled on those previous waves. And I have used the previous waves for a lot of research. So it's kind of a well-established source for studying religion in the United States now.
All right, sir. That's all the questions that I have. Anything else that your expertise suggests that we should discuss regarding the study before we stop?
No, I mean, the only thing I would say is that this will continue to matter going forward, even though white evangelicals are becoming less of a majority in terms of demographic size. But this ideology will stick around for a long time, and it is very powerful, and it will continue to influence political views, vote choice, and elections in the future.